David Edwards, pastor of Turkey Cove Baptist Church. It is a joy to come to you today by way of sermon audio. We want to thank you for joining us today. And wherever you're at, your place of listening, we hope that and pray that this message will be a blessing and a help to you. And it's our goal, it is our ministry. We want to be a help and encouragement to the saint and be a light to the sinner. And if you're in the Marion, North Carolina area, we would love to have you come and visit with us. If you don't have a home church, we would love to have you join in with us here at Turkey Cove Baptist Church. I think you'll find a friendly, welcoming atmosphere. And also, if you like old-time worship, we preach out of the King James Bible and nothing else. And just an old-time way of worship, praying, praising, preaching. And we believe in preaching. God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them which will believe. So we'd love to have you here at any time. And again, thank you for joining us today.
That is, I want to help them get there, don't you? Amen. Take your Bibles, turn with the book of Mark, Mark chapter number 4. I'll be real quick tonight. I know it's we had a lot going on tonight, but just something on my heart. I was actually going to let Brother Zach preach, as was my intention. I do apologize for that, Brother Zach. I had intentions on letting you preach tonight. I talked to Brother. He was with Brother Walker this morning at Zion Hill, and I think things broke loose there, and it was a good service there this morning too. But I intend on letting him preach tonight. But I've had this on my heart for a few days, and just couldn't get away from it. And so I just want to try to be a help to you. Wednesday night we dealt with some pretty hard things. Galatians chapter number 5 dealt with the works of the flesh, and was trying to get to that scripture, the fruits of the Spirit. Just didn't make it Wednesday night, so we're going to try to continue that this coming Wednesday night and deal with the fruits of the Spirit out of Galatians chapter number 5. But I actually was thought about maybe preaching that tonight. But I cannot get away from this scripture, just a thought, simple thought. I want to be a help and be encouragement to you. I know right now we have a lot of people in this church, a lot of people in our communities, a lot of people in this country right now is going through a lot of battles, going through a lot of storms. There's no doubt there's a lot of storms. Just about every family that I come in contact with, and that's been a lot in the last little bit, especially the last few months. I've told you this week, for example, it's been just the hours on the road and the miles on the road, going to different places, being in funerals and different things. And this coming week's going to be no difference. It's if the Lord willing, I'll be in several different places this week. And there's a lot of storms everywhere I go. Preacher, pray for this or pray about that. And I know some of you probably here tonight dealing with storms. But I'm glad I know the God of the storm. Amen. And no matter what we go through, no matter what we face, that He's able to calm the storm. I've got that on my heart tonight. I want you to stand and honor the Word of God tonight. Mark chapter number 4. We're going to pick up a reading for sake of time. In verse number 35, the Bible says, "And the same day when the even was come, He saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took Him even as He was in the ship. And there were also with Him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake Him, and say unto Him, Master, carest Thou not that we perish? And He arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And He said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? Why is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey Him? Will you help us pray again tonight? Lord, again, we thank You, God, for the privilege and the opportunity, Lord, You've allowed us to come. One more time, God, stand behind this sacred desk. Lord God, You know the need of the hour. You know what needs to be said and what needs to be done. Lord, I pray for just a little while, Lord, that You'd help us, hide us beneath the cross. God, help us, Lord, to preach that You'd have us to preach and nothing we shouldn't. Lord, I pray, God, tonight, if there's one here, Lord, tonight, that's battling the storm, going through something, Lord, tonight, God, I pray something to be said, something to be done, Lord, that would help them, to encourage them. Lord, I pray, Lord, tonight, if there's one here lost and undone without you, doesn't know you in the free pardon of sin, God, I pray the sweet Holy Ghost deal with their heart, convict them of their sin, Lord, that they might be saved. Lord, I ask, God, again tonight, above all, Lord, that you get glory and honor to yourself. Lord, I pray your will be done. Touch every heart, every life, meet every need. Lord, I pray we'll thank you, we'll praise you for all that you do. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing on the Word of God. I want you to look with me real quickly in this text. And I know it's a familiar scripture, but I want to take a thought out of verse number 37, if you will. I believe it's verse 37 where he says, "And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves," notice what it said, "beat into the ship so that it was now full." And I had a little thought this week on when water gets in your boat. I know it's one thing if water, if you're in a storm and the waves crashing outside the boat, it's one thing. And the water ain't getting inside the boat, it's not too scary. Everybody knows I like to fish, and I've been in some rough water, been even on freshwater lakes, been in some rough water, and been out to sea when it's been rough. We took a fishing trip several years ago, went 50 miles out into the Gulf Stream, and got out there, Brother Michael, and the ocean was as flat as this floor, just as calm and peaceful as could be. And we came in, we started coming back in, and we seen the skies begin to turn, and all of a sudden the first mate on the boat began to pull the curtains on that boat, and I thought to myself, I thought, this probably is not going to be good. And I asked him, I said, "What are you doing that for?" And he just looked at me and smiled, and he said, "Well," he said, "you'll find out here in a few minutes." And when we got in, we started coming into the inlet. They said it was 8, 10, 12 foot swells, and I'm as the biggest water I know I've ever been in. You'd be down up here one time, you'd be real high up in that boat, and you'd be looking down on the other boats, and then the next thing you know, there'd be walls of water on both sides of you, and you couldn't see them boats. All I know was this: it was a pretty scary time. And the reason he began to pull those curtains was he was trying to stop some of that water from the storm from coming inside the boat. I've been on freshwater lakes where a storm blew in and rain come with it, and waves would begin to start crashing into the boat, and after a while the water would start pulling up in the boat, and the bilge pumps come on, and it almost felt like the bilge pumps wouldn't keep up, and it's a different situation. I've also been in storms where the waves were crashing and they wouldn't come in the boat. As long as we was in the boat, we knew we were pretty well safe. It didn't bother me that much, Brother Dickie, as long as the water wasn't coming in. But when you listen to me, it's quite a different story when those, and that's what the case they were in. I noticed that that first mate in the first story that I told you there, that first mate that evening, I noticed him when we first went into it. He was kind of calm, and as long as he was calm, I was pretty calm. But we got on into the, started coming into the inlet, and all of a sudden, Brother Ronnie, that fisherman, that man who experienced the ocean day in and day out, who had had several years of experience, began to get a little nervous because the waves were starting to come inside the boat. Can I remind you that in this account that we have here tonight, found in Mark chapter number 4, is not a bunch of novice fishermen. They was loaded with men that spent their days every day on the water. They were fishermen by trade. They no doubt had seen some bad storms in their life before. They no doubt had been in storms like this. But what I see is they begin to not only just fear, Brother
hypocrites, but they begin to fear for their lives because they asked the Lord. They said, care not that we perish. I mean, there was the Lord. He was laying in the hinder part of the ship, the Bible said. The Bible said he was asleep on a pillow. Hey, man, listen to me. That's a whole other message, by the way. I'm glad, thank God, whenever things turned upside down in my life and the waves are crashing in and the storms are raging, I'm glad, thank God, that I've got a, hey, man, that I serve the living God. Hey, man, he's not moved by the storms of this world. He's not moved by the storms that's crashing all around us. Matter of fact, he's the God that walks on top of the storms. He's the God, hey, man, well, hallelujah. He's the God that can walk out on the bow of the ship and say, peace be still, and the winds lay flat and the waters lay flat, and they obey his every command. I'm glad to serve thee, God. Amen. Amen. But I began to think about that, and I thought, you know, when we get into storms like that, a lot of times it will reveal our experience. Listen to me, friend. I encourage you all the time as a church family and as a church body to just press on and just stay at it. I know a lot of times, listen, a lot of times storms will come into our life and we don't handle them the right way. Maybe a lot of times we don't rely on the experience of past storms. What I'm trying to say, everybody in this building tonight, if you've lived any time at all, you have been through some kind of storm. I can look around here tonight and I can see some gray hairs. I can see some no hair like myself. I can see some wrinkles. And if you've lived any time at all, you'd have to agree with me. You've been through some storms. I know some of you. I've experienced those storms with you. I've rode through some of those storms with you. Some of it's been storms, physical storms. Some of them's been financial storms. Some of them's, it's just all kinds of storms. But friend, in my experience, you know what I've seen in my experience, every storm that I've ever faced or seen or have been through with a church member or a family member or a friend, every storm that I've ever faced in my experience, if they'll just lean on the Lord and just trust the Lord, hey man, they always come through on the other side. But can I say to you tonight, hey man, I know sometimes it doesn't feel like that storm's ever going to end. It feels like that storm's going to last forever. I don't know about you, but these last 2 years, it seems to me like I think, man, is this thing ever going to be over? Is COVID ever going to be over? Is the pandemic ever going to be over? And you know what? It might not be over, but can I tell you something tonight? In my experience, if COVID and the pandemic never ends, he'll still be God. He'll still be good. He'll still take care of his people. David said, I was young and now I'm old. Yet have I seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. You say, preacher, why you get excited? Because I listen to me. I get excited because, listen to me, he's been the calmer of my storm. He's been the healer of my hurt. Amen. Thank God in the middle of the darkest hours of my night. Amen. He's never let go of my hand. Listen to me. I'm excited because I know that he is the God of the storm. How you know, preacher? Because I can look back at the experiences that I've experienced with him and know, thank God, that he'll be in control no matter how bad the storm gets. Amen. Amen. It reveals our experience. A lot of times, though, more times than not, it seems like it reveals our weakness. Amen. A lot of times when the storm begins to beat into the ship, like I said, it's one thing for it to beat on outside the boat, but it's quite another story when it begins to get inside the boat. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, you know, sometimes we'll go into a storm I remember when we went in that night, we was going in to, from fishing. We'd had a 12-hour day that day, a 12-hour fishing trip out in the Gulf Stream. And we'd caught, man, we caught fish, I think 300-some pound of fish we'd caught that day. I mean, we'd had a good day. Water, I mean, it's beautiful, blood clear. I mean, you catch them fish off the bottom, see them coming up. I'm about to get in the flesh, amen. You'd see them coming up from a long way. And I mean, it was a beautiful day, and I thought going into that storm, you know, I'd been on the water a lot in my life, and whenever we started hitting them first few waves, I thought, well, you know, this ain't that bad. He's just over-exaggerated. He's just trying to scare us freshwater boys, you know, don't get out on the ocean much. And I didn't think much about it. But it wasn't very long. And whenever I seen him getting up and he started fastening down the hatches, he started fastening down those curtains, and I seen a little bit of panic in his eyes. And by the way, you know what? We was on a boat called the Salty Dog 2. And I was dumb enough to ask what happened to Salty Dog 1. And I should never ask that question. I said, hey, buddy, I said, what happened to Salty Dog 1? How come this one's called Salty Dog 2? He said, well, Salty Dog 1 is out there in the Gulf Stream. I said, I wish I'd never asked that. Yeah, man. He said, but the good news is, he said, when it sunk, the Salty Dog 1 sunk. He said, we was only in the water about 15 minutes. And the Coast Guard picked us up. I'm thinking, brother, I done watched Shark Week. It don't take a shark 15 minutes. Yeah, man, y'all with me? I seen him started panicking, getting nervous, and I started getting nervous. I'll be honest with you. It wasn't very long in the midst of that storm. Brother Dickie, I started showing my weakness. A lot of times we'll do that in a storm, a spiritual storm. Not very long, we'll reveal our weakness, and a lot of times we'll get our eyes. It's kind of like Peter. Peter saw the Lord come walking on the water that day or that night, and here come the Lord walking on the water, and Peter cried out, "Lord, is that you?" He said, "It is I." And Peter, you know what? You know the story. Peter said, "Lord, bid me to come unto thee on the water," and the Lord said, "Come." And boy, we give Peter a hard time, don't we? But you know, Peter was the only one who got out of the boat that night, wasn't he? So you can give Peter a hard time if you want to, but I don't see none of them other fellows getting out of the boat. So Peter got out of the boat, and he walked on the water, and he did pretty good till one thing happened. What the Bible said? The Bible said that he took his eyes off the Lord. He began to look around. He began to look at the boisterous waves. He began probably to look at the thunder and the lightning and the rain and the waves crashing in. And he took his eyes off the Lord. And right there, Peter revealed his weakness. If you'll notice with me, I'm not going to take a lot of time because I'm trying to hurry tonight. If you'll notice at the end of this chapter, what I read to you, the Bible said, well, let me just read it real quick. He said in verse number 39, said he, and arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And said the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? Why is it that you have no faith? You know what I've seen the last 2 years in the midst of a pandemic, in the midst of a storm in our country, in our churches. I mean, listen, churches closing their doors. This has been the hardest thing on the church in modern day history. Never has the church been attacked like it has been attacked in the last over two years now. Never has the church went through in modern day history like it's what it's went through. People are leaving church for fear. People are leaving the church. I'm just going to go ahead and say it tonight. People are leaving church for lack of faith. People are leaving for no reason at all. Listen to me. I believe when we went into this pandemic, people started using COVID and pandemic for an excuse. They were looking looking for an excuse, and they've made it an excuse to miss church. I'm telling you something tonight. Now listen, please don't get me wrong. I don't have nothing against Facebook services. I don't have nothing against that radio. We've got a radio broadcaster that broadcasts out into the parking lot and out into the community. I don't have nothing against that, but friend, I believe it's coming a time when we need to turn the Facebook lives off, and we need to turn the radio broadcasters off. Amen, and make people realize that there is no substitute for forsaking the assembling ourselves together, as the manner of some is, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Amen. Listen to me, people. As long as they don't miss the church, as long as they don't, they'll remain fearful and they'll remain faithless until we get back to the things of God.
He looked around and he said, "Why are you so fearful? Why are you so fearful?" Man, I've asked that question so many times in the last 2 years. Preacher, you're not scared? Sure I am. Sure I am. I'm scared. I respect the COVID. I've had friends, I've had family die from it. A lot of good men of God this past year has died because of COVID. Brother Sammy Allen, I mean, one of the great preachers of this day. So many. Brother Stenick Blue. I can go on and on and on. That has died, that they've succumbed to COVID. And don't get me wrong, I'm not making light of it, not one bit. Amen. I've had it twice. I mean, my wife's had it once. I mean, several of my family's had it twice. Some of them been real sick. Some church folk been real sick. I'm not making light of it in any way. But I'm telling you something, it's got to the point to where we fear the storm more than we fear God. Amen. Now, I remind you tonight that the Bible says a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. And I promise you the night that He saved me, you can call it whatever you want to call it, but tonight that I got saved, you know why I got saved? Hey man, I got saved that night as a 9-year-old little boy at Trinity Baptist Church down here on the side of 221. I got saved that night for one reason, Brother Chris. I'm just going to be honest with you. I got saved that night because Holy Ghost was drawing me, number one. But number two, I didn't want to go to hell. Hey man, I knew that. Listen, I'd heard a lot of preaching. And that Sunday night, my pastor that night preached on hell as hard as I've ever heard it preached about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, he preached hell hot, heaven sweet. And miss, I'm telling you, I got under conviction and knew I didn't want to go to that awful place. Hey, listen, and I got born again. But let me tell you something. There was great fear in my life when God called me to preach. Listen, there was great fear came over me. I'm still not any good at it, but I didn't want to stand up before people. I didn't want people looking at me. I couldn't give a speech. I couldn't do a book report. I couldn't do nothing before my classmates. And I thought, Lord, surely you've messed up. Surely you've made a mistake by calling me to preach. And I was fearful. But can I tell you something tonight? I am still fearful tonight. I still fear him. Listen to me. A lot of people's got it in their mind that God is leaned out over the banisters of heaven, waiting to knock them in the head every time they do something wrong. No, friend, I'm talking about a reverential fear, a fear in awe. I stand in awe of him. I stand in awe of the peacemaker. I stand in awe of the storm comer. I stand in awe of the salvation giver. I stand in awe of the one that said, "My grace is sufficient for me, for thee." I'm telling you something there. I still fear him tonight. Amen. I fear him more than I fear the storms that's crashing all around us. Friend, I'm telling you something. I know no doubt there's some people here in a storm. There's people here, do you feel like water's getting inside the boat? And you listen, they got, them fellas got worried. Bible don't say nothing about them going and getting him until the water started beating into the ship. But when the water started coming into the ship, amen. I'll tell you something tonight. If you've ever been there, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Amen. Man, I can give you illustration after illustration in my own life. Like I said, I can look in the faces of some of y'all and you're thinking back right now. The times. Man, listen, I'll give you one. That's 30-year-old.
30-year-old Brother Barry had a young son. There I was, Brother Paul, had a young son, had a wife. I was the breadwinner. I had to support them. My wife wasn't working, had a logging business that was thriving, doing good. And God laid me flat on my back, laying up there. And man, the doctor's looking at me, telling me that I had third-degree heart block. It's a disease called cardiomyopathy. And they said, we're going to try putting a pacemaker in. And said, we're going to hope that works. But said, we're going to be honest with you. We've never seen somebody your age with as bad a heart arrhythmia that you have. We have never seen anybody at 30-year-old with heart block the way that you have. My heart rate would go up like yours would. And all of a sudden, it would just cut off. And I'd pass out and fall over. And they said, what's going to happen? You're going to do that. And then your heart's going to stop back. And it's going to throw a clot to your brain. And you're going to have a massive stroke. And it said, it's a wonder that you hadn't already done that. And I was 30-year-old, and I could hear him say that. But I'll tell you something. I'll tell you something tonight. With everything in me, my wife's are sitting right there, my sons are sitting right there. I tell you, they come in there and they told us that in that hospital room that night at Marion before they shipped us to Asheville. And I'm telling you something, Brother Nick, there was a peace over my soul, even though the hallelujah. Amen. Even though the wind was beating into the ship, even though the water was inside the boat, can I tell you something? Somebody had already stepped out on the bow and said, peace be still. Somebody had already stepped out on the bow and told the winds to lay low and the waters to come. Thank God tonight. Thank God tonight. Amen. For the storm comer. Amen. Amen. It'll reveal our experience. A lot of times it'll reveal our weakness. But I'll say something else. It'll require our dependence. Amen. If you ever get in a storm like that, you ever get in a storm where the waves and the water gets into the ship, amen, it'll require one thing to get through the storm. And that's just dependence. Amen. A lot of you done heard this story, but if you've heard it, just act like you ain't never heard it, okay? And if you haven't heard it, maybe it'll be a help to you. And went on to Asheville, and they was going to put my pacemaker in. But the day before I left, Brother Michael, I had a brother-in-law. And Brother Matt, I've been praying for 12 years. I'd witnessed to him. I told him about the Lord. We'd sit on the side of a mountain while we were deer hunting. And one day, and we were sitting there eating lunch. We was way back in the mountains and up on Curtis Creek. And we were sitting there, and I was witness to him. I was crying. I said, Marvin, listen to me. I want you to go to heaven with me. And he looked at me square in the eyeball. And I know he didn't waste his words. He just says what he means what he says. He looked me square in the eyeball that day. And he said, David, I don't even know if I believe there is a God. He said, I can't touch him. I can't feel him. I can't hear him. I can't see him. He said, how do I know there is a God? And I said, Martin, I know there's a God. I said, just look around you. I said, he made it all. He created everything. I said, look at your body. I said, everything. I said, how in the world can you deny the existence of God? And it went on, and he just left it at that. And boy, I remember that right before they shipped me off to Asheville, they come in the hospital room, and when he came through the door, big old boy, weighed about 280, 290 pounds, 6'2", 6'3", something like that. He's a big old boy, ain't he? Nathaniel, he's a big one. He walked in there, and big old tears running down his cheek, and he pacing back and forth at the foot of my bed. And he was tapping the bottom of my bed, and we was talking, and I was laughing, cutting up with him like we always did. He said, I don't understand it. He said, finally, he just stopped. He said, I don't get it. I said, what are you talking about? What don't you get? He said, I don't get it. I said, what is it, Marvin? What is it you don't get? He said, I don't get how you can be this calm. I don't get how you can lay there and cut up with me and laugh. I said, let me tell you how. I said, Marvin, listen to me. If I go or if I stay, man, I'm a winner either way. I said, look, if I live, it'll be all right. But if I die, it'll be all right. because I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I oh yes, friend. I went on, got my pacemaker put in, come back, got pleurisy in my lungs, sick as a dog for about 2 or 3 weeks. And during that time I surrendered the call to preach, preached my first message. I went back to home on that Sunday night and got a phone call, and it was my wife's sister on the other end, and she was weeping and uncontrollably, and she said, "David, you've got to come over here right now." And I could hear Marvin in the background. He was weeping. I could hear over that landline. That was before cell phones. Y'all don't know about that. That was before cell phones. And I could hear him weeping in the background. I said, "What's wrong? Tell me what's wrong. I thought somebody had died or something." She said, "You've got to come over here." And I walked in his house that night, walked through the kitchen and in through the living room. And he was sitting on the couch, and he stood up and he turned around towards me. I said, "What's wrong?" He looked at me and he said, "You know what's wrong." And he fell down on his face right there at the couch. And I heard him pray and ask the Lord to come into his heart. Amen. Right when he said, "Lord, will you save me?" he started beating his chest like this. He said, "I feel him. I feel him. I feel him. I feel him." Hey, I'm talking about a man who just not too long ago, just a few months prior, he said, "I don't even know if there's a God. I can't see him. I can't hear him. And I can't feel him." Oh, but thank God that night when the water started getting in the boat, hey man, he realized that there's only one way how to make it through that storm that night, and it was in the arms of the Savior. Amen. Amen. Can I tell you something tonight? Amen. If you're going to get through this life and into the next safely, amen, you got to get in the right boat. Amen. Brother Stan sings that old ship of Zion. Amen. You better be on the right boat. Amen. Because there's one boat going one way, and there's another boat going another. And there's that one going towards hell. Man, it's a loading up. You ever seen some buses, maybe even some ferry rides, some rides down the river? Some boats fill up faster than others. Some of them boats have maybe taken the easy route, and they fill up pretty quick. I'll tell you something, living for God ain't easy, friend. It ain't easy. Listen to me. If you come looking for an old sting message, you come for the wrong place. Amen. I'll tell you something. There's troubles, there's tribulations, there's trials, there's heartaches on this journey. And I'll tell you something tonight, it's worth every mile. It's worth every trial. Amen. It's worth every valley that you walk through. It'll be worth it all. I promise you that. But you see them boats, it seems like them boats, amen, the Bible says broad is the way that leads to death and destruction. And many there be that go in thereat. He said, "Narrow is the way that leadeth to life everlasting, and few there be that find it." There's a reason why those easy roads. Listen to me. There's pleasure in sin for a season. But friend, can I remind you tonight, it's a short season. And one of these days that season will run out. Amen. And the old preacher preached that message, payday someday. One of these days you'll stand before a thrice holy God and hear Him say, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you." If you die lost without God, without Christ His Son, if you die without Him. Amen. Listen, you said, "Preacher, did the Lord really send people to hell?" Sure enough. Sure enough. Amen. You reject His Son, He has no other choice. I want to tell you something. I said this the other week. And I'm going to be honest. I want you to understand what I'm about to say. I don't never look forward to funerals. And I'm not saying this, Miss Tracy, because I'm glad you're having a funeral tomorrow. I'm not saying it that way. I hope you understand what I'm saying. But I ain't never looked forward to a funeral, maybe except my grandma's, that I'm looking forward to that funeral tomorrow. You say, "Preach, that's the craziest thing I ever heard." You don't know, mate, if you say that, then you didn't know her mama. Amen. Over there in the old building one day, we had revival. At the end, give an altar call. Age 15 or 16 got saved that night. I can't remember which. Her and Miss Louise got up. The service was over. We'd done this dismiss. Her and Miss Louise stood up. She slid her arm through Louise's arm, started walking down the aisle. She started shouting. I heard that shout this morning. Yeah. Sounded just like her. She started shouting down. She shouted all the way down the aisle, down the steps over there out in the old building, shouted out through the parking lot. And when they drove off down the road there, they were still shouting in the car when they went around the curve. I said, I wish they'd rolled their windows down. Hey, listen. Hey, when it, you know what? Hey, man, she went through some battles. Well, no doubt she probably felt like the water was coming into the boat. Well, hey, I got good news for you. She safely arrived at the other shore. Well, hallelujah. Hey, listen. That'll make a dead Baptist want to shout, thank God. I'm telling you something. Hey, listen to me. Hey, she sailed in safe to the other shore. Thank God. Got out on the banks of sweet deliverance. Hey, man, no more storms. No more heartaches. No more pain. She ain't struggling to walk tonight. She ain't struggling to breathe. Thank God tonight. Hey, man, she's home. Home, home. Forevermore. Amen. I say hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Amen. Help yourself, sister. Amen. 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 If you felt what she's a feeling, you'd shout too. Praise God. Amen. You say, what in the world's going on up here, preacher? You a bunch of charismatics? No, we're a bunch of automatics. Amen. We just automatically just serve the Lord and worship Him. Why? He's worthy. He's worthy. Amen. That's why. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Amen. He's a good God. He's a great God. And I promise you this, if you'll just stay with Him. Just stay with Him. Hey, man, water might get in the boat once in a while. Hey, man, but He's the best bailer-outer I ever met. He's the best. Anybody know anything about a boat? You know what a bilge pump is? Hey, man, you don't want water in your bilge. Hey, man, He's the best bilge pump I ever met. He can get out the water, clean up the boat. Amen. Get you safely to shore. Amen. Both stand, come sing. Amen. Let's all stand tonight. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I'm thank God. Listen to me.
I pray that it was a help and a blessing to you wherever you may be. And also wanted to extend this invitation out to you if you have any questions or any concerns, maybe questions about salvation, maybe need help in any way that we can be a help to you. If you'd reach out to us, our contact information you'll find here on Sermon Audio. Again, we want to thank you for listening in today. God bless you and have a blessed day.